This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Recognizable European company names like Siemens and DHL, with large operations in the Cincinnati region, are just a couple of the more than 250 such businesses with a presence here. Trade between Kentucky and Ohio and the European Union is significant. EU Ambassador to the United States Stavros Lambrinidis is speaking about this relationship as part of a roundtable discussion involving local executives and civic leaders hosted by the European American Chamber of Commerce of Greater Cincinnati. We have details online at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. I spoke with Ambassador Lambrinidis earlier, and here is our pre-recorded interview. And joining us now is the European Union Ambassador to the United States, Stavros Lambrinidis. Ambassador, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
So I know we're going to talk about trade, the relationship between the EU and the U.S., and specifically the trade relationship between the EU and states like Ohio and Kentucky, where most of our listeners reside. But I do want to start with an interesting article I read about you in the Baltimore Sun that was published back in January. You had borrowed 28 pieces of art from the American Visionary Art Museum to put in the house where you host official events in Washington, D.C. And you said that, you know, it's typical that ambassadors use their homes to portray the country where they're from, but you represent 27 different countries. So you decided to, quote, flip the script. Instead of telling people why they should love the EU, why not tell people in this country the reasons Europeans love America? So I wanted to ask you, why do Europeans love America?
It's a wonderful way to begin the conversation. You know, before I started this project, of flipping the script, telling Americans why it is that Europeans are so close to them, I initiated this whole thing with Kentucky. So in September 19, at my residence here in D.C., I had a very, very big event celebrating the European Union's relations with Kentucky. Everyone from the mayor of Louisville bourbon producers, the biggest ones had a fantastic bourbon tasting at the residence for diplomats, congressmen and women who were here, journalists, others. We also had a number of companies, big EU companies in Kentucky. L'Oreal is an example, Safran is another. And we discussed that relationship, and we also got down to the nitty-gritties of the personal. You asked me why. I suppose everyone in Kentucky knows that Greg Fisher is married to Alex Gerasimidis, who is a Greek immigrant. The personal relations tying Americans and Europeans go back centuries, and they're very real and they're very strong, and they're celebrated every way in loud and quiet ways. And there's no question that they have contributed to also the huge economic relationship that have built up between the two sides of the Atlantic. We are today the biggest importers and exporters and investors in each other's economy, creating more jobs for each other than with anyone else. And we'll discuss this later on. What we don't know as much is that the love that we have between us is also based on culture. I mean, everyone here talks about their memories from a European trip or their roots in, ancient Greek philosophy and all those things. But they do not appreciate how deeply Europeans appreciate the culture of this country. I mean, when we were celebrating Kentucky, we had a live bluegrass band as well. Those sounds are parts of European sounds today. The Speed Museum in Kentucky, in the same space today that I have the honor of having the American Visionary Art Museum art, the Speed Museum loaned me 5 pieces of art that I had in my dining room until recently. And I was able to exhibit and show to all my guests here at the residence. As you can imagine, a diplomat usually tends to have some pretty high caliber people from all walks of life and industry and politics. And I was proud to do this. We have to get back to the basics. It's not just about money. Although coming out of COVID and reboosting our economies is a huge part of our transatlantic agenda. It's about people. It's about culture. It's about showing Americans why it is that Europeans are here. And we are here for much more than business. We have had each other's back, Americans and Europeans, for decades. We have had each other's back in every crisis, from wars to economic depressions. We have had each other's back. And this is what I intend as EU ambassador to make sure that we do again.
We are talking to EU Ambassador Stavros Lambrinidis. And thank you for that explanation and your generous words about my home state, Kentucky. You spoke a lot of Louisville and Mayor Greg Fisher, just for our listeners' sake, that when he said Greg Fisher, that's the mayor of Louisville. And the Speed Museum is associated with the University of Louisville in the city of Louisville. That's about 100 miles from here. But you also mentioned L'Oreal, and that is a company that has a large presence in northern Kentucky, part of our listening area here in the Cincinnati region. You also mentioned the way that Europe and America have had each other's backs in a variety of crises. And my goodness, the current crisis, that it does feel in a lot of ways we're so close to being on the other side of, but we're not quite yet. Can you talk a little bit about the way, if at all, our international friendship, the European Union and the United States of America, has benefited and improved or stood out, worked together during the COVID crisis?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do so. Look, the COVID crisis initially threw us all back into our shells, right? So we had to deal immediately with the large number of deaths, the unknowns of this pandemic, the necessity of developing at lightning speed vaccines, pharmaceuticals, other things, and we did this. And very shortly after we started doing this, we realized that our economies were so interconnected that we were getting a very big hit, economic hit, Europeans and Americans, by the fact that this crisis had fundamentally shut down our borders. Now, a lot of the trade, thankfully, we managed very quickly to put back on track. But, of course, it was hit in the same ways that our economies were hit. But our cooperation began with ensuring that we can open up our economies again, so that every U.S. state and every EU member state could benefit from the relationship as much as possible as they did before. But it also focused on vaccines, initially on creating them. You know, it's very, very interesting that many people don't know this. The Pfizer vaccine is actually the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine.
Yeah.
It was an equal collaboration between Pfizer here in the U.S. and BioNTech, a German company. Which had the advanced research and development of the RNA, the technology has gone into that vaccine. It was a transatlantic cooperation of two major companies, an American and a European, that got the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine out first and so effectively. And when it comes to producing vaccines, Europe and the U.S. are the two biggest producers of vaccine today. Frankly, our cooperation, I hope, will get, and I believe will get even closer, not just as we, of course, vaccinate our own people, but as we are out there in the world ensuring that we can vaccinate others. And I say this because, you know, solidarity in vaccines is not charity. We must manage to vaccinate people around the world faster than the virus and the mutates. And it mutates. And if we don't get those vaccines out to others, then we will not be safe ourselves. And the European Union in the past few months has exported from the vaccines produced in the EU almost as many doses to other countries as we have used for ourselves. Now, this has delayed slightly the number of people in Europe that are being vaccinated. But frankly, we have felt from the beginning that for us, for the major democracies in the world, for the major producers to show to the rest of the world our solidarity to their own people, to ensure that we don't have those few vaccines trickling out from China and Russia, giving the impression that others are being the Mother Teresa of the world in the crisis, but that people really knew that the major producers were also the major suppliers of solidarity. We thought that that was very important. And I know that when the U.S. Wraps up with its own vaccinations, we can count on even closer cooperation in getting those vaccines out to others. So we economy, huge area of cooperation, and much more coming up. And this is a big trade part that we can discuss now, including on how it affects Kentucky and Ohio and the European Union economies, but also vaccines, pharmaceuticals, and looking ahead, if I can say, Michael, I'm throwing many things in here, but you know what? It's if you look at this thing piecemeal, you will lose the boat. The climate crisis has been out there before COVID hit. And the climate crisis, if we don't address it now and effectively, is going to be multitudes of times more devastating than COVID has been. So in Europe, we're also looking way ahead. And we are thinking and we are saying and we have, announced that our recovery from COVID is going to be climate-based and digital-based. We're going to have a new kind of growth. Millions of jobs created from the new technologies that are coming out. And again, America and Europe are the biggest two innovators of the world. If we combine our forces on these new technologies, on ensuring that we can avoid unfair competition from others who may continue polluting, if we manage to do that, we will be able not just to save the planet, which is obvious, but frankly, to kickstart our economies and to create millions of jobs around the world, including American and European jobs in countries that will need our technology and our knowledge. And that is the challenge of the future. If we can do it, we are going to be proud. And I hope that we are.
We're talking with the European Union Ambassador to the United States, Stavros Lambrinidis, and we are going to talk about this event that is today, Tuesday, and it is hosted by the European American Chamber of Commerce of Greater Cincinnati, and it is a look at Kentucky and Ohio and the EU. It's a discussion on the impact of trade between the European Union and our two states here in this area. We're going to take a quick break just ahead and then come back and talk about that. Before we go to break, though, Ambassador, just one more thing about COVID, because we did talk a little bit about cooperation and getting vaccines to people and the impact on the global economy. But beyond that, there's people. And I know part of Ambassador's role involves an element of diplomacy. What do you think, from where you sit, that as it relates to the way the people of the world see each other now, do you think this crisis changed the way we might feel connected to one another in a way perhaps we didn't before?
Michael, this is a super good question, and I wish I had a super good answer. I've been struggling with this every day as I'm looking at myself, my embassy, how I've had to go virtual since March last year, how we're back at 25% capacity today. I hope much bigger capacity in a couple of months' time. But still, how we had to all adjust in the virtual world, how we were supremely efficient at doing our work, I never thought we could be. We ended up working more, perhaps, from home than we worked at the office, because there were simply no hours. Day and night, we were in front of the computer. But at the same time, how we lost a big part of the intangibles of actual physical human-to-human non-planned interaction. So, you know, many of those things, we're giving an interview now. This is planned. We had a time to meet. We knew what we were going to more or less talk about. But, you know, in most interactions, especially in diplomacy, where diplomacy is a contact sport, right? I mean, you're out there shaking hands, meeting with people. When you meet a person, there are three other people next to you probably never expected to meet. Suddenly you meet them as well. Something comes up. When you're in an embassy, you have the trade people talking to the environment people, talking to the economy people, talking to the people doing, you know, JCPOA and the Iran nuclear deal and Afghanistan and other things. And all those interactions, all this cross-pollination makes you a great embassy as opposed to simply a very good one. And I think the same thing goes for our interactions around the world. There's no question that we got more adept at using technology. But you know what? Who did? I've been thinking about this a lot. Certainly I did, but I used it before. My job is a white-collar job. Is the person doing a blue-collar job, are they as happy with this? Is there a danger that they will be increasingly replaced by technology? And what is it that we are doing to take care of these people? When we are looking at Europe today, at the green transition, as we call it, we know that these new technologies, the clean technologies coming in, are not just necessary, but they're also going to be hugely profitable. At the same time, they're going to be people who will lose their jobs. We know that too. If you just look at that, through the COVID lens of everyone at their home thinking about it theoretically, if you're not out there talking to these people, trying to see how to transition them and how to protect them, then you're missing the boat. So, in Europe, we set up a major fund, multi-billion euro fund, the Just Transition Fund, as we call it, that goes in hand, in parallel with our green transformation. And it is precisely set up to be able to support those communities and those people. So, I think technology has gotten us closer together during the pandemic. We have events where we can bring people together from all over the world, Zoom events, that before someone had to fly into the U.S. to do this, so much, much less likely for that to happen. But at the same time, we have the fatigue of the efficient overpowering the inspirational. And I'm looking forward to getting back to the inspirational pretty soon.
We'll continue with the ambassador just ahead. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Our guest today is Ambassador Stavros Lambrinidis of the European Union. He's part of the delegation that talks to the United States, the ambassador to the United States of America. Ambassador, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So we've got this conversation going today because you're part of a presentation hosted by the European American Chamber of Commerce of Greater Cincinnati, Stronger Together, Kentucky, Ohio, and the EU. It's a virtual trade roundtable, involves some networking as well, and you are delivering some remarks. So talk to us a bit about the EU relationship, particularly as it relates to trade, with Ohio and Kentucky.
Sure. Big picture first. Consumers, businesses, workers on both sides of the Atlantic, they know they vote with their feet every day. They have benefited from the EU-US relationship for decades. We are the two biggest, most open, most fair, I underline this, markets in the world. We account for about a third of global trade, if you can believe it. About 40% of global GDP is the EU and the US. So it makes a tremendous amount of sense that so much of our economic development depends on trade or investment. And Kentucky and Ohio are two major states in the U.S. that are open to trade and investment and whose citizens have seen the benefits of that, and especially with the EU. I mean, the data shows overwhelmingly that U.S. companies make more profits investing in the EU than anywhere else in the world, and more jobs are created in the U.S. and in the EU by the trade and investment we have than by anyone else. Just if you take Ohio and Kentucky, Ohio exports about $11.3 billion dollars worth of goods to the EU. That was right before the pandemic. About 60,000 U.S. jobs in Ohio are created by that trade. About 92,000 jobs in Ohio are created by EU investment in Ohio. So about 150,000 jobs in Ohio. Now, if you look at the Kentucky data, about $9.2 billion dollars worth of exports to the EU. You can compare those with exports to other countries, and you'll see how huge that is. And there are about 80,000 jobs created in Kentucky by EU investment and by trade with the EU.
I note that both Kentucky and Ohio seem to have the same top exports to the EU in terms of goods. Both export aerospace products the most. As far as agriculture goes, both states export soybeans. As far as services go, it's professional, scientific, and technical services. So both states very similar.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's exactly right. And then if you look, Kentucky is very high on pharmaceutical exports. Ohio very high on electrical equipment exports. That's good goods exports. And it's a very good thing that you point out, goods and services, because in fact, that is the whole picture of what a trade relationship does. Many times we make the mistake of focusing just on the export on goods and ignoring the export on services. But the export on services, everything from, like you said, professional services, transport, finance, insurance. If you look at the Facebooks and the iTunes, I mean, that's a service as well. You see that there is a humongous amount of exchange between the EU and the U.S. And the jobs are a big thing. When I first came to this country, I had looked at many of these statistics. And I asked my people, I said, EU investment in the U.S. and EU trade with the U.S. creates about 7 million jobs in the United States. And I said, that sounds like a decent number, but I don't understand it. I mean, there are 330 million Americans here. I mean, is that a lot of jobs? And someone told me as an answer, they said, do you know how many jobs GM creates in the United States? And I said, I don't. How many? And they said, it's about 130,000. So GM, the biggest manufacturer of cars in the U.S., 130,000 jobs in the U.S. And EU investment in trade with Ohio alone, 150,000 jobs. So that puts things in some perspective, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
We are truly having each other's back, Americans and Europeans. If you look at the jobs created in Europe by U.S. investment and trade, they're equivalent. This is the kind of prosperity we both need when we come out of COVID, and that comes out of open markets and open trade. When we have been talking with the previous administration in particular about the great destructive effects of trade wars and tariff wars, that's precisely what we had in mind. And I know that people in Kentucky and Ohio know that every day as well.
We've got just about a minute left, and I want to just remind everyone that we are talking with Ambassador Stavros Lambrinidis of the European Union, the ambassador to the United States, ahead of an event happening today, a virtual event involving the trade relationship between Kentucky and Ohio and the European Union. And before I let you go, Ambassador, you were so kind to start this conversation talking about Europeans' love for America and why you chose the artwork you did for the house where you entertain guests during the work. So just as we conclude, I want to put your diplomacy skills to the test. We're in Cincinnati. We're right on the border of Ohio and Kentucky. So which state do Europeans love the most?
Absolutely. Look, love Cincinnati. Have been in Cincinnati in the past in different capacities. Haven't done it in my current capacity. But I intend to, when we open up, to have an official visit to Cincinnati and to Ohio more broadly.
And hopefully we'll be able to have you in the studio.
I'll tell you what I often do is I bring other ambassadors, EU ambassadors, with me as well. Let's not forget, we started talking about Alex Yersinidis, the wife of the Louisville mayor. There are so many, Poles and Germans and Portuguese and others, in Ohio, Kentucky, states around the country. I mean, these are connections to, my God, these are connections to celebrate and to think a little smarter about how we do this, how we bring everyone together. There are 60 million Europeans, if you put all these diasporas together in the United States. I am committed to making sure that they serve as a bridge, connecting us and strengthening us even further together.
European Union Ambassador to the United States, Stavros Lambrinidis. Ambassador, thank you so much for the time you gave us. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.